Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And what is going on, everybody? It's in the marketplace, it's more of the same. Nobody cares. Nothing's going on, and there is no presumption that we should see anything going on anytime soon. Now, you can look at this from a lot of reasons, but I think the biggest reason here to look is to say, hey, okay, it is the middle of summer. It is dead. It is August. I mean, you know, this is not unusual. This is the typical August action. And all that happens is when you get a big move within an August, it becomes more magnified, like something should happen. But, you know, what is it that we have to, you know, is there a reason why we should be moving other than lower? And the answer is probably no. Because here we are in a market that is certainly overbought from the long-term scale. It is, you know, we would call it, you know, resolving the recent up move, and then it will make a decision as to will we continue to go up again, or is the top in? And I do believe that the top is in or near, but what we have to find out is will the marketplace try to push it higher? Is the lack of places to invest still a problem which creates more buying into the market? You know, that is the issue at hand, is the ever chase for yield continues to keep money flowing into the equity markets because there's no place else to go. So if you're going to invest, most likely you're going to put your money into the stock market because you have no place to have a chance. Now, that also has its own problems that it creates after a while. But again, the first thing we should understand and recognize is it's the middle of summer. So in the middle of summer, we wouldn't expect it to be too busy. And, you know, our expectations sometimes get ahead of what should really be happening. So this low volatile environment should not be a surprise. This is very, if you went back and just charted, you know, August every month, every year for 100 years, you would find out that it's pretty slow. Most people are on vacation. You know, people all over the world are traveling. London's on holiday, which is why the trade is so grinding painfully, whether it goes up or down. Again, we don't really care. From a trading standpoint, we don't really care the direction it moves. We care that we get movement, which we're not getting. But this is something that you have to learn as a trader, as an investor, that, you know, hey, it's time to kind of watch. It's a better time to take time off. And if you just think about it from a logic standpoint, if others are taking time off and there isn't action, it's probably a good time for me to take off, which is why we continue to say, hey, we have an opinion, but we're not certainly in a hurry to get involved here. And probably the better side of the trade right now is to be observing, not trying to get overly involved, because there's not a lot to do. Now, there is a lot of things going on underneath the surface. You know, we've got a tremendous problems in commodities right now as they continue to fall. You know, we look at the agricultural space, and of course, you know, corn and wheat are on lows, and soybeans are down, but not quite, you know, near lows yet. Oil just bouncing off of the $40 level. Gold coming under a little bit of pressure. Cotton, the entire commodity space. Now, you know, that's deflationary. That's problematic. But again, it does tie into, you know, many, many reasons why. The charts have warranted that type of action, number one. Number two, the economy sucks. Okay, you know, you can listen to the assholes on TV all you want and tell you how good everything goes. And you can hear people tell you that we've never been in better shape. But these are the same people that will be sweating when we start to break down. Because you can bet your ass that these markets are going to break. Okay, and again, I'm not going to tell you when, nor am I going to try to panic you out of your position. I'm just telling you that it's a matter of a mathematical certainty that that will happen. But in the meantime, why put yourself in a position to hurt yourself? We've got, you know, quiet market. Quiet markets typically mean relax, stay on the sidelines, leave your investment, your portfolio, hedge it, let it grow, do what you can do, and not be active because you're not going to be beneficial being active. But you get these imbeciles that continue to want to tell you how great the world is, how great we're doing. And you know, listen, I'm a big fan. I want everything to be better. But, you know, the facts are simple. We've got an idiotic Federal Reserve that has absolutely no clue, with thousands of PhDs running around trying to work on their formula. But maybe they're working on their thesis, okay? Which is flawed. It's a flawed model, because when you take away the math and science part of it, and you actually have to make a real decision into real business, okay? And you have to tie that into humans, okay, and what's going on, I can honestly tell you that that is the problem, okay? Because theory, you know, we can go to moot court, right? Or we can do, you know, mock trading. But in the heat of the real battle, we don't have the same advantages. And that is the gene that economists miss, is that the world does not run on a theory, okay? We have theories to set base standards, but after the base, we have to be able to change, react, and move on those theories, because, you know, nothing works the same all the time, okay? You know, you've heard the story, no two snowflakes are identical. Well, no two economic times are identical either, and they take different things and different work to make them better and to make them happen. But unfortunately, the people that are in control right now, the people that are running the ship, are clueless. Right down from the top to the bottom, none of them, or at least none of them, would admit that they have a clue. And as you've been tuning in the last couple of days, you heard Dr. Bob Swarup talk about his views, and then you heard Danielle DeMartini Booth talk about it. And you're seeing everything that they talked about and we talked about on this show forever is exactly what is happening. Now, again, it can be fixed, but it's going to be a bitter pill to swallow when it comes time to swallow. And we'll talk about that pill when we come back from the break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. You know, I want to remind you, when you miss an episode, it's libertytalk.fm. We'll get you a download of the show every single day, as well as The Sporting Edge. Make sure you check it out. Check out BubbaTrading.com. Last night, we did a spectacular webinar on hedging. And certainly, if you'd like the recording, you can reach out to me and send me an email at Bubba@BubbaTrading.com, and I'll send you out the recording. But again, my biggest thing in life is to help you defend your money in your portfolio. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out here for a break, and I will be right back on this beautiful Thursday. We'll be right back to The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. It is Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and well, where do we start? So, I'm listening to the news. My usual, you know, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. And up comes the housing, and it's not doing as well as they thought it was doing. And of course, on this show and on every media appearance I've ever made, I said the housing market was a bunch of bullshit, and it's all error, and there is nothing real about it. And all of a sudden, now they're wondering, well, why aren't we selling more houses? Why is the housing market disappearing? And I said, well, the first part is you have an incompetent Federal Reserve. You know, we talked about before we went to the break, the bitter pill we're going to have to swallow. The bitter pill is simple. Their interest rates have to rise. Now, if you're wealthy and have plenty of liquid money, then you're happy with low interest rates because you are getting to be able to take the advantage of cheap money and use it in your business or whatever. And, you know, it's a very simple formula. If you have a business that you know can create 10 cent or 10% on every dollar as a profit, if you can borrow money at 3 and generate 10, you're making a 7% spread, you would borrow all the money you could. Okay. And of course, the big guys who have all the dough can do that because when you have money, you know, if you remember Bob Hope's statement, the bank is the only place to loan you money when you don't need it. Okay. You know, they won't give you an umbrella when it's raining, but they will give it to you when it's sunny outside. But the point being is that the people that need to borrow money, the people that need liquidity are not the extremely wealthy. Okay. I mean, again, the extremely wealthy, they use it. They know how to use it. They've made wealth. They've done a good job. They've got a good business. Big businesses, they can do it. But they don't necessarily have to have it. They are able to take advantage of it. But the people that really need bank liquidity, the people that really need to borrow, are the middle class. Because that's how we, the middle class, build our homes, make our businesses, become entrepreneurs, and graduate and build so that we can make a nice living. But when you take away a couple of components, and in this case, we have taken away the ability for the small guy to borrow money. You know, again, I don't blame the banks for not lending. I mean, you know, I can understand it. That will cause a problem in the longer term, because in the longer term, we need everybody to borrow. We need the system to flow. We need the velocity of money. But now, young people are not buying homes. Old people are not buying homes. Nobody's really buying homes because if you can't borrow and get a mortgage at a reasonable rate, why are you going to buy? How are you going to buy? Which is why we've seen what I am calling for is the rent bubble. Okay. You know, nothing changes. There is no secret in life or in the world of what's going to happen next. We have a bubble. We have a rent bubble. We had a housing bubble. Now we got a rent bubble. We had an internet bubble. So there are always bubbles because in every business, what happens? We run to where we think we can make the most amount of money. Okay. It's not brain surgery. Farmers do the same thing. You know, if soybeans are hot, they're gonna plant more soybeans. If corn's hot, they're gonna plant more corn. Well, what does that mean? Well, now what it does, because there was, let's say, a shortage in corn last year, they're going to plant more. So they're going to relieve the shortage and drive the price down by themselves. It's the same thing in the rental market. If we have people that can't afford to buy houses because they can't get a mortgage, it creates more rental opportunity. Well, if we build more rental properties, then we're relieving that problem. But what you've seen is you've seen a dramatic rise in the amount of rent that people have to pay. You've seen, you know, even in my neighborhood, it's amazing. In the last 2 years, they built two monster apartment complexes. Okay. And, you know, typically where I live, there is not a lot of multifamily dwellings to begin with. So now they're building this. Well, what is that telling you? That's telling you that people can't afford housing, so they're forced to rent. So when you're forced to rent, the renters now, the owners of the rental properties now hold all the aces, and they genuinely drive up the rent a little bit. They can make more profit, but eventually there's going to be a number at which the amount you're paying for rent you know, you're going to try to switch to a house. Okay. And that's where you'll see, even you're seeing a little bit of it now, some more of the, not necessarily subprime lending, but lending, easier lending, so that, you know, people can get it. Now, you know, we've got a tremendous amount of this, you know, peer-to-peer lending. And I'm sure that you're going to start to see some of this turn into mortgage-type money in peer-to-peer. In other words, peer-to-peer is when a group of me and a group, or just me, I want to invest my money. I don't want to get the 1% from the bank. I don't want to be in the stock market. So I invest in a company like a Prosper or any one of these other places that they advertise. I supply the money. Somebody, they find the lender, and I make a higher rate on my money, and the company takes their squeeze or their piece in between. But I'm sure we're going to start seeing some of these pop up for mortgages as well. Okay. But they won't be 3.25% or 3.5% mortgages. They're going to be higher because that's where they make their money. They can charge a bigger spread than you can pay at the bank. So although the bank has cheap published rates that you read all the time, the real problem is that you can't get the money. So we can have all the cheap rates we want, but until we can benefit from the capital that they're providing, what good does it do me? And this is the thing that nobody seems to get, and they want to continue to blab on TV about everything, how great it is. And again, I'm not looking to whine or to bitch or to complain. I'm just telling you the facts. Okay, remember Dragnet? Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. I'm just trying to give you the facts. Okay, the facts are simple. Okay, the economy's in trouble because we don't have any movement. We're in trouble because we have no middle class. We're in trouble because we have a bunch of idiots that think that you can solve every problem out of a book. You know, everything you want to know about sex, but we're afraid to ask who wrote that, but that was the big Bible. Well, we continue to have people that only want to read the big Bible of economics, which is probably one of the dumbest editions ever. And yet we continue to buy into it. Yet we continue to buy into everything. Okay, now, why is that? Okay, why is it that as Americans, we have the greatest country on earth, we've got the smartest people, but yet we fall into these traps of not being able to do anything and always staying with the status quo? Okay, I mean, it's obvious and clear what has to happen in this market. And that is, there has to be a bitter pill swallowed. Interest rates must rise if we're going to survive. Now, again, we're going to survive, but interest rates must go higher. I don't care about the rest of the world. I don't care about the theory behind it all. It's evident and obvious that without higher interest rates, we are going to be in this same old mess. And the longer you participate and continue to promote this BS environment, which is all built on artificial, showing no company growth, another earnings miss, another quarter down the drain, retail sales tomorrow, which I'm sure will be shit. With all of the things that we have going on, we are not going anywhere until we take the bitter pill or the Ipecac and have to vomit or puke. Because until we can get lending liquidity, that's the big stop. That's the big blockage in the drain is no lending. So if you can't borrow, you can't spend. And if you can't spend, you ain't going anywhere. And if you're not going anywhere, you're not making any money. And of course, you know that vicious circle, right? Especially if you're stuck in it. This is something to think about. Again, it's always a problem across markets, across every single market we have. So hopefully they'll eventually figure it out. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. As you know, when you miss an episode, LibertyTalk.fm is my home station. We also have other content there for you. It's 24 hours a day. But make sure that you check it out and download The Bubba Show as well as The Sporting Edge every week. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out here for a break, and I will be right back with Marlon Bowling from RFD Radio. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, will be right back.
trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Hear that whistle, it's 10 o'clock.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. It's Bubba. Anyways, so as you know, or don't know, if you're new, on Wednesdays, I do RFD TV and radio, but I do radio with Marlon Bowling and get my thoughts on the overall ag space. So let's go to Marlon Bowling right now, RFD Radio, and check out what I had to say. Here we go.
He is with BubbaTrading.com in Chicago and wanted to run through a few things with you here, Todd. First of all, thanks for joining us here today. We do have the crop reports coming up Friday, as I mentioned a little bit ago here. So we have the crop production report. We also have supply and demand reports coming out. And it looks like the wire is just coming out here since the markets closed yesterday with some early estimates on what the traders and analysts expect to see in that report coming up on Friday. For production, it looks like the average trade guess for corn is looking at about 14.78 billion bushels, soybeans 3.95. So that seems to be a tad less than some of those earlier numbers we had heard bandied about out there. So it does not have a 15 on the front on the corn.
Good morning, Marlon. And, you know, as you know, I'm not a big proponent of these numbers. I think that they're reported and it's just a number, and markets will figure out a way to price in, I believe, well ahead of the numbers that are going to come out, and the price discovery model will tell us where we should be priced, which I think that's what we're seeing, and that's why we're languishing down here at some lows. And I think one of the things that I'm seeing out there is that although they're talking about these great bumper crops that we're going to have and this big outlay, but in the meantime, when you talk to guys in Kansas and in South Dakota and North Dakota, you're finding out that they're producing about a half of what the average expected yield is. So I think there's going to be more problems than you think. But in the meantime, information is out there and we are still stuck at these, pretty low prices here. And I think that we're going to see so some stability down here, and we're going to start to build a base in corn for sure, and wheat, and then I think you'll see soybeans still kind of whip around between that 950 and 10 when we're talking about November beans, and then eventually I think they'll break out to the upside too. But I do think we're going to go higher. I don't really care what the number is. In fact, I hope that the number forces them lower so that I can buy them a little bit cheaper, because I believe that we're at levels that you can only really be a buyer. And I think that's what the commercials banks are telling us, is because they're now buying down here as well.
So you're thinking they can't throw any more bearish news at it production-wise at this point?
I don't think they can throw any bearish news, period, at the markets. Now, they'll find a way, I'm sure. But, I look at it from a model of what's the risk, what's the reward, and where can I make the most amount of money. And from a trading standpoint, the most amount of money that I could make is by owning and not by being short down here. I think we've put in so much damage to the price from the financial engineering, from the Federal Reserve, to the lousy banking laws that we're dealing with, to the equity markets, to what's happening with the global economy. We went through this last year And, you know, prices were depressed and down. And then all of a sudden, well, oh, we found the reason to rally. And I think the same thing is going to repeat this year. You know, history does repeat itself. And we've thrown for the last, you know, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 months, every piece of bad information, not only about, you know, where we are in far as far as the planning and progress and things like that, but as far as just general economy. And when you look at that bigger picture, you say, well, where's the next piece of bad news going to come from? And if, I don't think they can find any more. I don't think they could dig any more up.
Well, we did have the U.S. dollar going fairly sharply lower again overnight. That could be somewhat supportive to the trade from that angle, couldn't it?
I think so. I think the dollar is going to be a very interesting trade here. And I think that that may be the actual turn when we actually get the move that I'm looking for. And I think the dollar first is probably going to go back higher again. I think there's a good reason to believe that the Fed could step up here and raise rates. I don't know if they will do it before the election, but I think when you look at last Friday's jobs number, from an interest rate standpoint, certainly if they're truly being data dependent and they really believe what they say, which I doubt they even can look in the mirror and believe what they're saying, but if they truly believe what they say, then you can't ask for much better of a number than that, and there should be no reason why they shouldn't raise, which would actually benefit everybody once we can get these interest rates raising, because it changes the dynamics of lending and everything else, because we're having a lot of problems with borrowing money as well as farmers and producers, and that makes the problem even worse.
Well, stick around, Todd. I want to talk with you. Boy, there's so much to talk about today. Don't even know where to go first. Our very special guest, he'll be back in just a moment, is Todd Bubba Horwitz. He is with BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. With you on the morning edition of Commodity Wrap, I'm Marlon Bowling with you, and Zach Troutman is running the board for us here this morning. And on the phone, we had Todd Bubba Horwitz. He's with BubbaTrading.com. By the way, you might remind us again what you have on that website there, BubbaTrading.com, Todd.
Well, Marlon, I have, you know, a lot of stuff to help everybody, but it's really about learning how to put together your marketing plan, how to hedge against the possibility of disaster, and making sure that you're always in the right position so that you can benefit from big up moves or big markets, but you can always be prevent the disasters, which many of us forget to take care of, because, you know, sometimes markets don't always do what we think they're going to do. So we have to be prepared and understand how markets actually function.
One thing I've always been impressed with is the fact that you like to focus on young folks and teach them early on how they can do risk management. And I think that's an angle that often goes overlooked and way too often, I think.
I agree with you, Marlon. One of the things I've made it my goal in life is to educate young people in financial literacy, because to me, that is probably the most important thing that you can learn as far as, you know, progressing through your life, because there's always a financial decision to be made, and learning to make the correct one without being too emotional about it becomes very important, which goes back to why I'm not a big advocate or worried about these reports that come out, because I know that I'll have a chance to react to the price once they do come out.
Well, there you go. All right. Now, I want to get your impression here. We had talked about the cattle market here a couple of trading sessions ago that looked like it had maybe taken out overhead resistance. It looked like it was going to take off and run, and then before it even closed that day, it kind of had the wheels come off, and it went lower on the day, and that disappointed a lot of folks. Well, now it has gone higher again, and it looks like maybe it's on the way out of there. What do you think about this, technically speaking, at the cattle market?
Well, you know, as you know, I've been a big fan of cattle, especially when we get down to, you know, in the fats down to, you know, 107, 108, and in the feeders down in the low 130s. But up here, I believe you have to be looking to be a potential seller. I think that what you've done here now is we've run a little bit too far too fast. I am still a big fan and very bullish the market, but I believe that the best result, although I know everybody always hates when I say these things, is that we could go a little bit lower first. And I think you want to see, using October, we want to see about 114 in the fats. We want to see about 142 in the feeders. I think that gives us a much better base. I think it gives a stronger building, and I think that will attract more new money to bring and push prices higher. I think if we continue to go with the pace or going up, I think you're going to have an uglier sell-off, and I think that will take away from what I'm expecting, which is much better pricing going forward. So I want to see, I'm looking for a little selling here. I've been bullish all along. I bought, and now I'm out, and I would actually, from a trading standpoint only, I'd look to possibly short the market up here as just a trade, looking but really looking for a spot to buy them lower.
On the lean hog trade, and I guess I consider you to be a contrarian at heart. Looking at the hog trade, it's been pounded in the ground so long now. Where do you think the commodity funds stand right now? Are they pretty much getting on one side of the boat right now, which would mean a possible move the other way?
Yeah, I agree. I do believe that. I think that, and I am more of a contrarian. I mean, I believe in price. I believe in price action. I think that hogs, you know, August are almost gone anyways, but they've been brutal. But I think what you're seeing now is you're seeing some support start to show up in October and December. And you look at the 58 level in October, the 55 in December. And I think here you have to now be a buyer. I think you look at the model. Again, it always goes back to risk and reward. And down here, first of all, they're showing some reasonable support and new money is stepping in. So down here, I'm only a buyer now. No longer am I interested in selling these. I now want to only buy in. If we can hold and base here a little bit longer, I would certainly be looking for spots to now step in and start to buy some hogs here.
Just because you think there's a much greater chance of getting a reward out of that than there is any more risk to the downside. All right. Well, Todd, thanks for explaining that. I figured that was the case, but I thought I would ask you and have you point that out. Todd Bubba Horowitz has this tremendous website. It's really cool, bubbatrading.com. Check it out and get in touch with him. Just tell him Marlin sent you. When you do, he'll be glad to help you out. We'll be back with more Commodity Wrap right after these messages.
Yeah, tell him Marlin sent you, but in all seriousness, it is a great site because, again, I'm an educator. I'm a trader, obviously, but I want everybody to understand the markets. I want you to be able to look at the market and say, this is what I think and why. Because what we've found is too many people get too involved. You know, again, tomorrow will be the commodity report, the progress report, supply demand, bunch of crap. Who cares? That's what I say. Who cares? I don't care about any news. Okay. The markets, the tape will tell you the news. And that is indeed what you need to worry about, not anything else, because the markets are very free to disclose information. The issue is you have to be willing to look and read that information and believe in what you're reading. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. When you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm gets you a download of the show every day, as well as The Sporting Edge. Do yourself a favor and stop at bubbatrading.com. You know, I give my book away for free. All you do is pay shipping and handling. But again, a lot of great sources, a lot of great product, a lot of great information. And, you know, a lot of it's free. So check it out, bubbatrading.com. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back right after the break.
The song was Bubba written Show. By Fred Ebb and John Kander. Orchestrated by...
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. It is Bubba, and I'm back. So, you know, I got to tell you, I am about as sick of this stupid election. Now, I mean, you know, it's become to a point where it's putrid. It actually it makes me want to puke. What the hell's going on here? I'm so tired of listening to both parties. Okay. I'm so tired of listening to the bullshit that's being spewed out there from both parties. And we have, for whatever reason, we have a market that loves and eats up this crap. The media, not the market, sorry. And I don't get it. I mean, we've been at this now, what is it, about 18 months? I mean, there's going to be over $1.5 billion spent on this ridiculous election. Okay. And look at what we have to choose from. Okay. I don't care what side of the aisle you sit on. You guys know what side I'm on. I wanted Bubba for president, but I couldn't get it done. It was too much stuff that would consume every moment of my day, even trying just to get on. But look at who we have. We'll start with the Hillary Clinton. I mean, first of all, obviously an extremely bright person, but basically an idiot. Okay. Very bright, but an idiot. And you know, we talk about the common sense part of the world. Okay. I don't see it. I don't understand where she even comes from. I don't understand what the hell half the things she says. And she has no ability, in my opinion, to be able to think on her feet. Okay. She can't make the hard decision, and then she lies about it. Okay. After she makes it. Now, again, obviously, you know, a lot of the stuff, we don't have direct proof of a lot of the things, and some things we do have proof of. But at the end of it, we always know that every story has three sides. One side, the other side, and then, of course, what the actual truth is. And, of course, we do know that right now, if you're a Republican, everything she does is critical and the end of the world, and she's, you know, a danger. And if you're a Democrat, you're applauding and telling everybody what a good job they're doing. And, of course, Hillary Clinton is still the betting favorite to win. Now, again, I'm not going to, you know, go through the garbage of, you know, betting and how it goes and all that other stuff. But she still is a fairly significant betting favorite. Okay. And my point here is simple. Okay. The American people, the masses, have decided that she's okay. No matter what she does, it's illegal. Okay. They don't mind. They're willing to have her. And then, of course, you've got Donald Trump. Now, you know, like him or hate him, he's very pompous. He's very obnoxious. But this is where, to me, this is a spot in where the country is going to make a turn for the better or a turn for the worse. And, you know, again, Donald Trump has many, many flaws. Okay. And one of them is he can't keep his mouth shut and says things. Now, again, he says things that we all say in jest. And of course, when you have 1,000 media following you and writing every word, and when you fart, they're on top of it. Right. I think you have to, you know, understand, you know, the sensationalism of what they do. But in the meantime, he does represent the opportunity for a potential real change. Okay. Not guaranteed, but the potential. The first thing is he'd have to keep his word of what he wants to do when he gets there. Now, we all know that change that he's talking about cannot happen that fast. He can't walk in and say, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired. Okay. However, it's going to take somebody to start to affect change. And that, I believe, is his idea. And I think that's the better idea. You know, I find it very depressing when everybody says, well, you know, he's not an establishment candidate. Well, maybe the establishment's what's got us into this major problem of debt. Maybe it's the establishment that is why we've gotten away from who we really are. I'm tired of the establishment. I don't want the status quo. Okay. That, I think, is where we make the mistake. You know, he's not a politician. Well, who wants a politician? You know, politicians are only out for one thing. Most of them are not in it for you. Okay. And we have to affect some sort of change here. Okay. Because we're not going in the right direction. Okay. We're growing bigger government, spending more money, creating more debt is not moving in the right direction. Okay. And to say that somebody's not a career politician, well, who the hell wants a career politician? Those guys don't work. They don't get their hands dirty. They spend half their time on vacation. The other half, they spend raising money. Okay. When you look back, which elected officials have really done a great job for this country? So I think it's time to change. Okay. And, you know, listen, Gary Johnson, I'd like to see him get the 15%. Okay. And get into debate, because the truth of the matter is he's probably the best for the country. Okay. The problem is that Americans are too lazy to vote. Okay. You know, we need to get out and vote and support your candidate. That's how you make change. The bigger the numbers, but we become too passive and too complacent. Now, in this particular election, I think that may change a little bit. I think that that's why I think that Donald Trump is going to win. And not only do I think he's going to win, but I do think he's going to win by a rather large margin. Because I believe that, you know, as all, although many people will not admit that they're going to vote for Trump, when they get behind that curtain and push that lever, they're going to vote for Trump. Because I think that many of us are tired. We're tired of the same old, same old. We're tired of the, you know, continue to build the entitlement programs. We're tired of the, you know, the crap that we continue to see on a regular basis that at the end of the day only costs you money. Okay. Now, at some point, you know, you're going to see a rebellion. You know, if you remember the Boston Tea Party, okay, things today are no different. Okay. We're bigger, we're more money, you know, we're not so controlled, but the theories and the problem behind it is the same. And I think you will see something of a revolt. And if Trump gets in, that will be the start. I mean, I think it's already started, but even that he's even to this far is interesting. And again, I do believe that he's going to win. I don't understand how you could actually vote for Hillary just from the standpoint of the crap that's happened. But again, I have no inside information. I do, as I said, I do believe that, you know, the libertarian is probably the best choice for reality. But I don't think that, you know, so far we haven't been able to see that happen. You know, there's a chance, depending on how the actual vote comes out, of how it could play out. But the problem really here is we don't have enough unity. And we've got too many people on the other side. Now, part of that's all BS, because we know that these guys behind closed doors are not enemies. They're just figuring out how they can screw the American people. So I am sick of this election crap. I'm sick of the whole process. The process itself needs to change, okay? Because to spend $1.5 billion and all this other stuff, to me, is a joke. But this is the Bubba Show, and we are so happy that you were able to spend your Thursday with us. We're going to call it a day, but make sure when you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm, you download the Bubba Show as well as the Sporting Edge. That will do it for today. We will see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. This is the Bubba Show. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you. The Bubba Show, top of boards. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.